We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Go Look and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guest will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golick, Trey Wingo here. Junior, a little time away. Planned, scheduled, all good, all is well. We're sharing a footstool right now.
Have I not made this set better? I mean, for how many months we've been doing the show in my basement? We're here on ESPN 2 for those that are watching.
It feels like 17.
But it does. But we had a setup down here where there was a couch that I had because it's my house.
Right. You are the king.
Anybody questioned it, I would just say, look up.
Yes.
That's my roof.
Let me show you the mortgage payment.
Yeah, exactly. So Trey and Mike get the chair, so we're all social distance apart.
Yes.
And you guys sit in chairs, and I watch you guys every single day, and I go, man, you have no footrest, no nothing. You're sitting in those chairs, because I'll put my feet up on the nice table that's in front of the couch. But when we go to this two-man thing, we take the couch out and we put the chairs out so the set looks better and we're social distance. And the first thing I did was put a footrest up here. Maybe it's because I'm an old man. I need my feet up every now and then. But, man, and you just popped your feet up for the first time because I put it here in 3 months. Yeah. Trey, how does it feel?
Feels pretty good.
It does, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Because he's sitting in this chair, and I'm like, man, what am I doing with my feet and my legs? This is much good. And I think we're 6 feet apart. Our feet are about 6 inches apart, but I think we're good.
I don't think our feet transmit anything.
I don't think the soles of the shoes will jump from one.
Because of the use of our odor readers that we use.
By the way, very important.
Well, there you go.
Very important.
So, I mean, I'd like to think I just improved your comfort a little bit right now.
You absolutely
do. And it just goes to show that my son, that younger generation, they're dumb, right?
Oh, by the way, a little breaking, that's also true.
Sorry,
little breaking news here.
Yep.
This just in, Adam Schefter tweeting this. The Cowboys-Steelers preseason opener at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio on August 6th is being canceled, and the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony on August 8th is being postponed to the corona pandemic. League sources tell ESPN. So that one extra preseason game that would have been the Hall of Fame game, which quite frankly, I'm fairly certain that both the Cowboys and Steelers, albeit they would have loved to have been in Canton and play the game, that one extra preseason game, I think they're probably going to be okay.
Well, I actually played in that game my rookie year. Right. I didn't play in it because I broke my ankle, so I wasn't playing, but I went to it, and you start everything earlier because you play in that game. And just yet another, you know, Hall of Fame ceremony being postponed. And that's a shame. You know, I just read off the 6 inductees in the NHL Hall of Fame. You know, we've had the Baseball Hall of Fame, obviously, in Cooperstown is going to be delayed till next year. Now the football, and I know you go every year. And we just hear, I'm sure each one in their own sport is just a fantastic, you know, weekend for these guys in the former and the current Hall of Famers and the new members. And it's a shame, but you understandably so, of why it's just not worth taking the chance to do it. And that's it's in Canton, Ohio. So it's in the state of Ohio, where they are certainly been opening back up. But they're not, nobody is fully open at this point. So that being pushed again, there were teams that were just supposed to go to training camp. That's what would happen. You go there, you get to go a little early if you played in that game to get a little extra time to prepare for it. Now, no game.
Let me just say a couple of things about this. The city of Canton, Ohio does such a great job every year in putting on not only the Hall of Fame ceremony, but the parade, the dinner. It is the biggest event of the year from them, and the volunteers every year that go out of their way to make sure that everyone that comes to Canton, whether it's the inductees, the Hall of Famers, their families, media members, everybody is there for that 3 or 4 day experience, is treated like kings and queens. They do such a great job. So to those folks in Canton, Ohio, I say I am sorry that we are not able to be there with you this year. It is truly one of my favorite trips that I get to make. I've been very fortunate to make for a lot of years here at ESPN going there. We are sorry we will not be able to be there with you, but no, we look forward to getting back there as soon as we can, because this was going to be a weird year anyway for the Hall of Fame, Mike. We had the regular class going in August, right, and then we had the centennial class,
right,
which was going to be honored in a separate time in September, and now you wonder if those two things will be combined into one giant ceremony, depending on what goes on with the virus.
As long as they don't let everybody then give a speech, because you'll be there for 5 days.
It would be a three-week affair.
So we're getting these Hall of Fame inductions postponed, moved to the next year. But one thing we are getting, and we were wondering when it was going to happen, and we thought about this a couple of years ago when sports had stopped. At some point, they're going to come back in some form or another, and they are. And next month is the month, gang. If you were wondering when sports is coming back and what's going on, well, listen to this lineup. MLS starts back up with their tournament down in Orlando July 8th. July 10th, NHL training camps are going to reopen in their two bubbled cities that they're going to choose from. July 23rd or 24th is going to be baseball's opening day, and all the way up to that, they're going to be doing their spring training 2.0. July 26th, the NWSL, the Women's Soccer League, their Challenge Cup is going to be in Utah, July 26th. July 30th, NBA season is going to start. And then also coming up later in July, the WNBA season is going to start. Remember, their 22-game schedule. And NFL training camps are going to start going in the last week of July as well. So it is happening. You know, sports are starting. Some going to continue their seasons like NBA and hockey, and some going to just start their seasons, some in a bubble, some outside a bubble. And it's like, you know, at this point, we've seen positive tests. We've seen more in the PGA. In just about 10 minutes, we're going to talk to our tour caddy, Michael Collins, about what's been going on with the PGA as more players have pulled out of the event. The third event since golf has been back, it's this week here in Connecticut, have pulled out in the most positive tests they've had since they've come back. So we'll get to him, but there have been positive tests in baseball, in basketball. NFL players, college players have been testing positive. But I do think, Trey, there is the, well, we knew players were going to test positive now before you go
correct
back to your respective city to start training for your team if you're not in a bubble, or before you get to that bubble. And, you know, guys are going to have decisions also to make along those lines because of conditions that they have. That's the one thing everybody has to think about. Kenley Jensen, the Dodgers pitcher, talked about, you know, health concern. He did this on ESPN LA 710, the Sedano show, concerns about his health and COVID and playing baseball this year.
I'm not worried at all. You can live in a life. You can be living a life and be living in a fear, you know, world. I don't want to live my life being, you know, fear of something. For sure, I'm going to be precautious about things, make sure I wash my hands, make sure, you know, if I'm in the clubhouse, just keep my distance and all that stuff. But health-wise, I think I'm fine. I think I feel great. I don't have no issues on my heart no more. But I'm tired of fearing this virus, you know. So it's time to just go out there and perform and take care of yourself. You know, wash your hands, do all that stuff that they want us to do, and make sure that we stay healthy.
The one thing, Trey, that we haven't heard yet is a player, at least I haven't, and some will make me aware if I'm wrong on this, because God knows I've been wrong before. No player has opted out of a sport because of health concerns of the pandemic. It's been, we saw.
Well, Avery Bradley did because his son.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's okay. Where I'm going. Not for them personally.
I see what you're saying. I got
like
you.
Trevor Ariza, for
the visitation.
Visitation with his son. About his son, Avery Bradley, his son's health conditions. You know, some of the players like Renee Montgomery in the WNBA for the social injustices and wanted to put more time into that. It's never been, I'm not going because I'm afraid of getting the virus.
Right.
Health to themselves, right?
Well, Blake Snell sort of alluded to that when he said, if I catch the Rona, well, it's in my body forever.
Right.
And then he went on about talking about
right.
money.
But he hasn't, we haven't heard anything about him not going. That's
correct.
My point. To this point, we haven't heard it. And, first take your take with Jason Fitz hosting. He had Dan Orlovsky on and he asked Dan, what would you do? You know, would you go? And Dan went on to explain, and I heard Dan talking about it. I just nodded my head. Yep. You know, he did it from the NFL part. You know, most players are making minimum or lower. You have X amount of time in the league. You know you're going to be sequestered. I am going to play. Yeah. And I was 1,000% in agreement. There is no doubt. If it was someone in my family, you know, that was a health concern, that's separate. But as far as an individual player saying, I'm not going because of that, I haven't seen it yet. I would have gone without question. Yeah. I would have gone not being concerned about that from the health side for me.
Well, this did happen yesterday. Tobin Heath, who, of course, is on the women's national team, opted out of the NWSL Challenge Cup over the coronavirus. And she said, although I wanted to be on the field with my teammates doing what I love, because of the uncertainty and risks created by COVID-19, I have chosen not to participate. She then went on, I came in to express how much I am looking forward to my next game at Providence Park. So she is.
Okay, that's the first one I have heard. And it may not be the last. I get it. And the high, I think in the 99%, you know, we can't say 100% because of that. In the 99 percentile, yes. I think athletes are going to go based on concern for their health. It could be something else, but their health. So she is the first one that I've heard do it because of that. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way.
No,
I'm not doing it.
Not at
all. I'm just saying that is the first one I have heard of.
And I do want to say one thing after hearing that soundbite from Kenley Jansen. Look, we're all tired of the virus.
Yeah.
I mean, we all are. I mean, I don't like putting a mask on.
Doesn't mean you disregard it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, and you'd have to have a longer conversation with him to see exactly what he meant. Am I tired of it? Yes. Do I wish it was not here? Yes. But it's not. And look, man, especially Kenley in the state where you are going to be playing outside of the Bay Area where the cases have gone way down. Everywhere else in California, there is a spike. So we're all tired of it, but that doesn't mean we can't ignore the fact that it's there. And my only hope would be, in listening to that bite from Kenley Jansen, don't let your, oh my God, I want this to be over thing, let you slip up, because that's when the sport really becomes in trouble. And that's sort of the thing we saw on the PGA Tour. And that's why they had that spate of positive tests heading into the play this morning right now at TPC River Highlands at the Travelers Championship at Cromwell, Connecticut. So just please keep that in mind. We're all tired of it, but that doesn't mean it's not there and it's something we got to deal with. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Showering, something you can't do under the Major League Baseball plan to play.
Not at the stadium.
Not at
anyway.
The stadium.
Do it on your own
time. Do it on your own time. Take that shower pill and get on your way. But coming up, we just talked about it, was the fourth-ranked player in the world withdrawing from the PGA Tour event of the Travelers a wake-up call for the PGA Tour? We'll get to someone who would know after this.
That's certainly going to be some...
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The PGA says they're going to be stricter when it comes to players and safety and protocol.
They had multiple positive tests. They've been testing every week.
All of us have an extraordinary responsibility to follow those protocols. When we have instances where someone hasn't, they will be dealt with.
Montana, do everything I can so we can all play golf. It's not about me. It's about our whole tour. With all these positive tests, the PGA Tour had to step it up, and they had to tighten that bubble.
Tighten up that bubble. Maybe something the PGA Tour has to do. Golic and Wingo with you. ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. So the first week the PGA Tour came back, there were no positive tests at the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial. Very good. Last week at the RBC Heritage, Nick Watney tested positive. He withdrew, became the first player to test on the PGA Tour for COVID-19, and then a spate of positive tests, basically five in total with some players and some caddies, causing some people and players to withdraw, including Brooks Koepka, last week's winner Webb Simpson, Graham McDowell, and Cameron Champ, who actually tested positive. And then Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, had a press conference yesterday basically saying, hey, we got to tighten things up here.
Right.
Otherwise, there will be real consequences. So is it possible to tighten it up anymore, and what could those real consequences be? Because Jay Monahan didn't elaborate on that. For more on that and all things related to golf and all things related going on in the world, Craig, yeah. We are always delighted to talk to our next guest. And quite frankly, it's been too damn long. Michael Collins on the Maddie and Caddy podcast, former PGA Tour caddy, does a great job with us covering all the golf in the world. Michael, first of all and foremost, good morning, man. It's really good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, and it's killing me that I'm not sitting in the basement with y'all propping my foot up on that footstool that I'm looking at right now. I'm a little bit jealous, even though because you guys are on TV, you can't be dressed the way that I'm dressed, which is just in my underwear and a t-shirt. So
yeah, that is the downside, because before we got back on the TV side of it, just radio, yeah, there was a whole lot.
It was pretty ugly in here, I'm not going to lie.
Non-dressing going around. And by the way, Michael, you're welcome in the basement anytime at, of course, a proper social distance. But along those lines, Trey and I, because of the footstool, got very comfortable here. Have the PGA players and caddies gotten a little too comfortable back in their setting and starting to get their hands slapped a little bit for it?
I do not understand why they tried to say what the tour was doing was a bubble, because it was more like a wiffle ball. Right? Like, so yeah. Pat Perez, we've had this. Pat Perez is, I got to give this guy so much credit. He called this 2 months before they started again. When they came out with this, how they were going to do it, what the protocols were going to be, he was the first one to say, look, man, we're coming back too soon if we're doing it like this, because this is how it's going to happen. It's going to be a free-for-all. And that's exactly how it was. The tour goes, well, we got a charter plane. Hey, cool. Was everybody going to fit in the charter plane? Nah, we can't fit everybody on the charter plane. So some guys are going to have to find their own way. Okay, everybody flying private, that should be cool. Well, Nick Watney flew with Sergio Garcia. How'd that turn out? Not so good. So they were together for more than 15 minutes on Sergio's plane? Yep. So Sergio shut it down, right? Nah, Sergio didn't. But the caddies had to. Wait, what? These are things that just, what are you going to, there is no way for the tour to be perfect. There's no way for any sport to be absolutely positively perfect. The European tour, they're going to go into their own type of bubble, but they're going to be, everyone has to be on the same plane. Bigger plane they're going to use, I guess, but they're all going to have to stay at the same hotel. This is players, caddies, media, anyone associated with the European tour event all has to stay together, all going to eat together. So they're going to try and stay as contained as they possibly can, where the PGA Tour, it wasn't that way. Players and caddies were saying from jump, if I test negative and my caddy tests negative, it's business as usual when we get on the golf course. And we saw it in Fort Worth. And the tour was begging and pleading with players. They were sending out text messages to players and caddies every day. Please stick to the protocols. And guys just wouldn't do it, and now you see the results. But here's the problem for the commissioner. Number one, the commissioner's like, I had a great conversation with my PAC board members, Players Advisory Council. Well, guess what? One of the high-ranking members of the Player Advisory Council, I got a picture of that guy on a tee box, not social distancing, with six other people shoulder to shoulder. And the commissioner comes out and is like, I'll tell you what, this is it. If we catch people and they're not following those protocol, there's going to be severe consequences, serious repercussions. But does the tour put out what the suspensions and fines are? No, they're not transparent. So that's like your mom or dad going, if I catch you doing that again, you're going to get it. Get what?
Yeah.
Get so, what? You're not, yeah. Shut up. You're not, so it's an idle threat, because they won't, all you're doing is saying, and I put this out on Twitter, and there was some backlash on it, but then a lot of players and caddies, they reached out and were like, you know what, you're kind of right. What the commissioner just did was he turned all players and caddies into snitches. And okay. Why I say that is because, so let's say a guy is not social distancing and not following the protocols. And let's say said person gets test positive for coronavirus. And so the tour is supposed to give that player the stipend of, you know, whatever that money is, take care of expenses while they have to now be quarantined for 10 days, right? So, right. But if the player is found to not have followed those protocols, then he doesn't get the money. Same with caddies. I talked to a caddy who was on a conference call yesterday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the tour was telling them, you get a $5,000 stipend. Here's what you have to do. There's all these protocols with rental car. If there's three caddies in a rental car for more than 15 minutes, you know, even the caddy that didn't test positive, all of that stuff. But at the end, they say, but if you were found not to be following the protocols, you're not getting a stipend paid out. And the commissioner himself is going to do the investigation. Wait. So the commissioner who's not at the tournaments, how's he going to investigate other than if people are snitching on one another? And if that's the case, then they're going to be like the insurance company and go, well, we're just going to deny all the claims in the beginning. Yeah, and let's just see what happens. Like, come on. This is what I mean. Like, all the text messages that were sent out to players and caddies for the last 2 weeks, every day with the tour pleading for guys to do the right thing and social distance and all these protocols that are in place. At the end of that text message was always the same. Not just for your own health and safety, but for the public perception as we're on TV.
All right. So Michael, with that in mind, we talked about the charter. Can they expand the charter situation? Can they require all the players to go around this way, which would eliminate some of these sort of outlying risks that people are bringing into the situation?
I guess the easiest way to answer that is, once the horse is out the barn, who's going to chase it back? Like, once you've already, this is where the tour, it's a great thing, but it's also a horrible thing. And Harold Varner III said, this is when, why in cases like we're in right now, the players need a union similar to what baseball, like, similar to the other big sports, because the tour always uses as their, I guess, excuse is the best word, is to say, well, players are all independent contractors. So they're not, they can play in whatever tournaments they want to. We can't require them to play in tournaments. And by saying that, then they say also then they don't have to take responsibility of, well, you know, players have responsibilities off the golf course. So like some might have to do a corporate Zoom meeting, and they might not want to go on Monday on the charter. So they might, like Sergio and Watney's a perfect example. The charter went on Monday. Well, they didn't go until Tuesday. Graham McDowell, again, he had something else that he was doing and didn't go the same time. So you can't, the tour could say, listen, if you're going to play, here's how, this is the only way you can play. So if you want to play and compete on the PGA Tour, it has to be inside this bubble. But the tour won't do that because they don't feel like they can, because, again, they fall back on that, well, players are independent contractors, so we can't tell them as a group what to do. Well, you could, just like now. Guys don't have to play. This is the same thing Pat Perez had said all along. I don't have to go play in these events, but if I want to make money and try and make my sponsors happy and make it to the FedEx Cup playoffs and make some bonus money as well, then guess what? Yes, I do have to play.
Michael Collins joining us. So right now it's test and hope seems to be where we are. Michael Collins with Maddie and the Caddy Podcast. So, Michael, obviously we're talking about golf there, but then we're talking about sports, and there are bigger things going on as well. I'm sure you obviously know what's going on with Bubba Wallace, what is going on with NASCAR, and then the fallout from the FBI investigation. And I know you wanted to respond to a little bit of that, so go ahead.
Well, I was listening to what you guys were talking about with what Will Cain said, and there's something that is just really bothering me about this whole thing. And it is the way that rope was tied, even if it wasn't towards Bubba Wallace, and even if it was set there months prior, there are so many different ways to tie a knot so that you can pull a garage door closed.
Correct.
That there is, you're not going to tell me, as someone who has been boating and done a lot of fishing and has a lot of Boy Scout friends, you're not going to tell me that wasn't put there on purpose, even if it wasn't directed towards Bubba Wallace. And even if it wasn't directed towards Bubba Wallace in Talladega in Alabama, is someone going to tell me that still wasn't a message being sent? And that's the thing, that don't let that part get lost. That even if it wasn't, going, man, this is where Bubba Wallace's garage is, so we're going to tie this rope in a noose, and then it was just to pull the garage door down. Listen, there's plenty of ways to tie a knot to make it so that you can grab that rope and pull a garage door down. So don't tell me that, oh, no, no, that wasn't, it was not towards Bubba Wallace. It was, you know, just a way that they tied it to, no, sorry. Like, you don't get to fall back on that. So the excuses that are being made is another way for some people to get off of the message. Like, everything that NASCAR did after the fact, even when they thought at the time that this was a direct act towards Bubba Wallace, was that wrong? Was it wrong for them to do that? And in conversations that I've had with a bunch of golfers, if something like that happened on the PGA Tour, and even if it was later found out to not have been what originally people thought it was, do people think the players wouldn't stand behind the five guys on the PGA Tour that have African-American descent?
Right. Yeah.
And so we have to be very careful that who is trying to get us to look off of
the bigger issue.
Correct. And this is why I got to say, man, I really love you guys a lot, because that's the one thing where other people go, hey, let's look over here. You guys are like, nah, that's not. And so I needed to get that off my chest, because there was a lot of, you know, I got into it with a guy on Twitter who was saying, you know, well, look at what the news media blew this whole thing out of proportion. And no, listen, this is still Talladega, Alabama, and there was still a message sent.
Yeah.
So don't lose that.
And that's been the whole point of everything that's going on in the country. Listen, Michael, we appreciate your time this
Absolutely.
Morning. We appreciate your passion. And hopefully we'll have more to talk about as the PGA Tour continues to weave its way through what is a very interesting summer and a very interesting moment on the resumption of the tour. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it, Michael.
Anytime, man. Love you guys. We'll talk soon.
You got it, buddy. Coming up, we will actually hear from Bubba Wallace and what he thinks and why what NASCAR did was not an overreaction in his mind. We'll get to that after SportsCenter. All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. Meanwhile, just real quickly, if you didn't hear the breaking news earlier that the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame ceremonies will not go on as scheduled. The Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and the Steelers has been canceled. The Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony for the class of 2020 has been postponed to a later date. And again, they could put it together with the centennial class. It will all go together. But just so people understand why that's significant, this is the first thing on the NFL calendar, quite frankly, that has not gone on as scheduled.
Right.
They had free agency. They had the draft. They're planning on opening up camps.
Well, the OTAs didn't go on schedule.
Right. Yeah, but that's, you know, you're right. But this is the first event on the calendar that has been not taken care of. And we'll see how that goes forward, because the NFL has maintained all along, we are going ahead with the schedule, going ahead with this. This is the first of the official things that the NFL has sanctioned for the league that has not gone on. So keep that in mind as we go forward. But we just had a great conversation with Michael Collins. We always have a great conversation
with
Michael Collins. And he said, don't get off the message of what went down in Talladega. Whether the noose was for Bubba Wallace or not, there was a noose in a garage when it didn't have to be in the form of a noose on a rope for a pull down in a garage at Talladega. And then, of course, there were the NASCAR flags outside, which were not allowed inside. There was
Confederate
a parade
flag.
Of Confederate flags that went up and down the street. There was a plane that flew over the race with a banner that said defund NASCAR with the stars and bars trailing behind it. So Bubba Wallace, the lone African-American driver on the NASCAR circuit, was on First Takes yesterday, and people have said, well, this has been completely overblown and NASCAR blew it by saying it was something that it wasn't. Here is why Bubba Wallace believes that is not the case.
Are we hypersensitive to everything that's kind of going on right now in the world? Absolutely. But if you were in my shoes, and I doubt anybody could walk in my shoes, especially at this moment, you would go down that route just time and time again. From the moment I had the conversation with Steve Phelps to the last conversation I had with the FBI, which I never thought I'd be on the phone with FBI. So that was always something new. But you know, unfortunately it's part of our life, part of my life that will stick with me, and I'll learn from this and grow from this and continue to push the positive message forward with what we're trying to change, not only in our sport, but in the world.
And again, Mike, to my perspective, you can focus if you want to.
Right.
On the idea of, well, it wasn't what NASCAR said it was. And if that's where you want to have your focus, okay.
Right, because that is true. It wasn't what NASCAR said it was.
But you are short-sighting the bigger issue.
As I said before, you're shooting the arrow at the wrong target.
You are short-sighting what the actual issue is. And Michael Collins brought that up, and Bubba actually responded to this as well. Because It was one of his crew
right.
that found the noose. And then this is Bubba explaining what his crew member did to make sure he wasn't overreacting.
Yes, it was a garage pool for our stall at Talladega. But that was in the solid shape of a noose. And when my guys seen that, when my crew member had seen that, who happened to be African-American, he did his research first. And I was very proud of that. David Crops, a guy I'll stand by in any trenches any day, walked up and down the garages to make sure he wasn't overreacting. And when he seen that the other garage pools were basically just a solid piece of rope, no knots in them, and we had a knot that was in the shape of a noose, yeah, so that calls.
I mean, how do you not react that way, yeah, right? Exactly. Now, again, as it turns out, that pole had been there since October.
At least October.
Yes, but the initial reaction, I don't know how you could not see that. And especially, again, David Crops was his name, the crewman, who was, as Bubba said, as an African-American, walked up and down the garages to make sure, okay, are they all shaped like this? Is this the way they tie them here? So is everything like this? And he didn't find one other garage that had it like that. And this, it did. You can sit there. There are plenty of people that are saying, oh, that's just the way it was tied. It was tied.
Yes, it was. You're right. That's exactly right. It was the way it was tied.
It looked like a noose, and it was the only one, and it's in the stall where the only African-American driver in NASCAR is. So you can understand the reaction. So, again, if you want to focus on NASCAR coming out with a statement saying this is unacceptable, it's a hate crime, this person will be out of racing, okay, that's fine because it turned out to be wrong. It wasn't a hate crime against Bubba Wallace. Absolutely understand that.
It was happenstance that it happened to right, be Bubba to be, that was to, in that to garage. Be Bubba,
exactly. But I completely agree with all that are saying about the bigger message to this thing of what that was. It wasn't directed toward Bubba, but man, you could certainly understand Bubba Wallace and the crew members' reaction to it. And then where it went, I do think too much focus goes on the fact of what NASCAR said, because I'll say it again, and I know Will Kane tried to make this point that there were people hurt. No, there wasn't. There was no person that got dragged from this. Yeah. There was no person that got dragged. So that's
Bubba incorrectly is getting dragged.
Well, yeah, the Jesse Smollett thing, you know.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I will continue to say there's a lot of other issues to keep our eye on.
Yeah.
The fact that NASCAR got that one particular part wrong about it, absolutely. We all talked about it in that vein. We talked about a story that was wrong, but the issues at hand are still the main issues at hand.
Right. And the other thing is someone clearly chose to make a pull down in the shape of a noose. Why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you do that? That's not the only way you can make a pull down. In fact, again, to that point, there wasn't another one in that entire garage row that was shaped that way. So you can focus on, well, what it wasn't, or you can focus on the bigger picture of everything else that went on in relation to that race in Talladega. And what you focus on in these situations, quite frankly, says a lot about what you're willing to look for and not look for in certain situations. And we'll see what happens going forward, because NASCAR has dug in. And Michael Wilbon said it best a week ago. This is going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight for the people that have sort of gotten away. And NASCAR for a while has let them get away with having that Confederate flag at those races. But they're saying, we're not there anymore. We're not doing that anymore. And NASCAR's in it for the long haul. And you know the other side is in it for the long haul as well. Coming up, speaking of the long haul, will someone chase Ted Williams' record over a short haul, and what would it mean? We'll book stuff without our book it maestro, Junior, after this.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
All right, guys, book it. You know the drill. You add book it to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the book.
You know what time it is. It's book it time, damn it.
Let's go.
Let's get this thing cracking.
Let's go.
Go Look and Go, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
By the way, I love that People's Court music.
I know, me too. Dun. God, I watch that all
Where's
the time.
Where's Rusty the Bailiff
these
days? Oh,
man.
Oh, real quick, totally off topic. I was walking through New York City like 4 or 5 years ago, and Doug Llewellyn walked by. I'm like, hey, People's
really?
Court guy. That was Doug Llewellyn, the People's Court.
It blew my mind at one point to find out that Judge Judy made like 40-some million dollars a year.
Yeah, Judge
Judy. I mean, think about that. A fake court system. And is on, and she makes 40-some million dollars a year.
God bless America.
Holy smokes.
All right, so meanwhile, we play Book It. So on the other end of that spectrum, we're going to – you're going to be your son.
I am going to be since you know, he's of my blood and he's done this, supposedly I'm going to take control of this and try and do it as well.
So you're
going
to be snarly and sarcastic and demeaning.
No, I'm not. I'm going to suggest, Trey, that you understand – we both understand how this works. Yeah. We will know to rather book it. If we like the comment or to not book it, and then some sort of soundbite will be played after either, and then we will move on, correct?
Put it in the books!
There you go. I am not going to be mean about this. All I say is, Trey, don't screw it up. Here we go.
I make no guarantees.
And you're starting them all, Trey. And an MLB player will hit over 20 home runs this season. Book it.
Okay, here's the deal. We got 60 games.
Right.
Since expansion in 1961, seven different players have hit 30 or more home runs in a 60-game stretch. I am absolutely going to book this because I think pitchers' arms are going to take a while to get in shape. I think we're going to see a lot of Big Al dingers.
I not only say a player, multiple players, I think, will be over 20 home runs in this one. I will absolutely positively book this
one. The last player to do it, Giancarlo Stanton in 2017, and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds in 2001. Yeah, I'm with you. In fact, I'm going to up your book it. I'm going to double book that.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Under or over 3.5.
Ooh. I might take the over. I might, because first of all, what we've seen out of baseball the last few years, everybody's swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
They don't care about putting the ball in play, and they know that those arms are going to be loose. Yeah, I think over three. I would go over 3.5.
I'm taking the over as
Absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. All right, there you go. Look at how we're getting along here.
What do you think, Junior?
My son always, you know, makes us yell at one
Big
another.
Jerk.
Wow. Kumbaya. All right, here we go next. An MLB player will hit over 400 this season. Book it.
Well, again, thanks to our fine researcher, Tripp, we have so much information. There have been 8 times of a batter hitting 400 or better through 16 games. Chipper Jones, the last to do it in 2008. If I'm thinking that the pitching is going to take a while to get right, and that's why there's going to be home runs, yeah, I think I'm going to book this. I think I'm going to see a 400 hitter. Now, it won't be looked at the same way. It won't be Ted Williams is no longer the last guy because Tim Kirchner's head would explode.
Oh, my gosh.
If that was the case.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think we're going to see it, and I think we're going to have to deal with the fact that it was just an outlier over a 60-game schedule. I'm going to book it. I think there will be a 400 hitter.
I think I'm going to book it as well. Let's do the same thing, over or under 2.5.
I'm going to go under there.
Yeah, I think I am as well. I am as well.
Because nobody's putting the ball in play.
You know, we sit here and talk about records that we wouldn't count because of a 60-game schedule.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? It'll never happen, but in a 60-game schedule, if somebody broke Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak.
Oh, that would be
Could
amazing.
You imagine?
That would be
getting a hit in just every game?
What happened in those other four, dude? That's absolutely incredible.
Oh, okay, next. If he signs with the Lakers, J.R. Smith will score 13 points in one of the games. You're going to book that?
Oh, hell yes, I'm going to book that. You tell me there's not one game that J.R. Smith isn't going to feel J.R. Smithy at one point? Look, he may go 5 for 20 in threes. He'll get 13 points in a heartbeat. He scored 13 or more points in 4 of the 11 games he appeared in last season. I think he's the easiest one on the board.
And we believe they're going to be in the finals. So we believe he'll be playing a lot of games, the 8 regular season games.
At least the conference finals.
All the way through all the way through possibly the championships. Yes, I'm absolutely going to book this one. We have booked everything so far. We have booked everything. All right, here's the next one. The Yankees and Dodgers will meet in the World Series. You going to book that?
This one's interesting because I do think they're by far the two best teams.
It's the most common postseason matchup in baseball history here.
And I think they're both at plus 350. So they're the odds on favorites to win it. But baseball is weird. You know what I mean? Like last year, the team that won the World Series, the Washington Nationals, would not have even made the postseason after 60 games. In fact, I think the number was, 30% or a third of the teams basically in the wild card era after 60 games would not have made the postseason. They both should be in the World Series, but I'm not going to book it because baseball is just quirky that way.
I'm going to take the easy way out and book it. Again, they've met 11 times in the World Series, but not since the 81 World Series. All-time Yankees hold an 8-3 edge in that. Next up, as we play Book It here on Golic & Wingo, the NBA playoffs will be just as good as March Madness. You going to book that?
I am going to book it because it's going to be different, and I think it's going to be much harder. You know, at first people are like, oh, well, this will just be a sprint to the finish. It's not the same. Well, let's really peel back the layers of this onion, okay? First of all, there's no real home court advantage. The people are going to be a little stir crazy. You won't have the normal rest between games in series and days off that you would have. You could make a very compelling argument in every way that winning this championship is going to be more difficult than any previous one. So yes, I think this is going to be better than March Madness.
I am absolutely not booking it. There's no way I think it's going to be. The upsets that go on in those first couple of days, I don't think you'll get nearly that type of excitement.
That part of it I will agree with.
From
you.
The NBA. Listen, I'm excited. Again, they're going to be playing from the early afternoon through the day. So we've even asked a poll question at Golic & Wingo. Not a poll question, but we've asked you. It's March Madness type play down in Orlando. So what would you call it? We're looking for names of the NBA bubble at Walt Disney World. It's March Madness type style of play they're going to play since they're going to be playing all day all the time. So we're looking for names, and we're getting a ton of great names. So keep those names coming. But I am not booking this because while you're going to maybe see some upsets, I don't see it being nearly as exciting as we're all sitting there watching, you know, that 14 seed, you know, beat that 3 seed and going nuts. I won't book that one.
All right, got one more. You want to fit it in? I got it here.
Go ahead.
Christian McCaffrey will rush for at least 1,500 yards next season. You going to book it?
Wow. No, I'm not going to book it. I don't think he goes for that much.
All right, it's a good point. Last season, the only 1,500-yard rusher was Derrick Henry, who did so in his fourth season. The season before, he had 1,000. This will be McCaffrey's fourth. Last year he had 1,387. Yeah, I think they're going to try and he's going to be spread the well. It'll be a 1,000 season maybe but I don't see 1,500 yards out of Christian McCaffrey either. I'm not going to book that one either. All right, coming up, 30 years in the making. Is today the day for the Reds to get back on top? We'll explain what all of that means, and it's not the Reds you're thinking of. Next, Golic & Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.